A very dark and rainy night on November the 2nd of 1966, a man who was then a salesman by the name of Woodrow Derenberger was driving on I-77 between Marietta, Ohio and Parkersburg, West Virginia on his way home when he was encountered by a flying saucer, according to his story, and he met the man therein, and he has not experienced the same kind of life since. It has significantly changed his life, and what is very strange about this story is that it has changed many other lives as well. It has captured the fancy and the imagination of the entire country as well as parts of the entire world. And we would like you to meet America's now most controversial and most seen and heard contactee, Woodrow Derenberger. This is Mr. Derenberger here, and with Mr. Derenberger is a very charming wife, whose first name is Darla. May I refer to you as Woody and Darla?
Yes,
for the sake of this, we've been on the air before, Woody, but I've never called you by your first name.
That's perfectly all right. I'd rather be called that anyway.
If I may. Woody, you have, to pick up the story somewhere, you have encountered a flying saucer. You've met the occupants of that vehicle, and you remain in touch with them. Now, can you tell us who is in that flying saucer and what he's doing here?
At the time that I met this man, I think everybody has heard the beginning of my story. The people in the craft were Ingrid Cold and Carl Ardo. They were from a planet, a world, that they call Lanulus. These people are here simply to make friends with us, to set up some kind of a trading pact with the world here, and to exchange cultural ideas and views of how we live, and in turn, we can see how they live. That is the reason that they are here for.
Why have they contacted only you, Woody, or have they contacted others by now?
There has been many people contacted. There have even been two people here in the Cleveland area themselves that have been contacted and talked to these people. Quite a few of the people will not release their name for the publicity that they get on this, yet quite a few do release their names. There are several books that are out that have been published by actual contactees. Several fake books have been put out.
Fake books?
Yes, people that simply write the story for the money they get out of it. This is what makes it so hard to actually believe the true stories when they do come along.
Yeah.
It's,
Well, you went aboard one of these craft, and you went on a trip with these people. And I would be interested in knowing what experience you had, what you saw, and how long it took. Did you get to Lanulus at all?
Yes.
You saw it?
I've seen Lanulus. I was on Lanulus.
You were on the ground?
Yes, I was.
You got out of the craft on that planet?
Yes.
You were able to breathe the atmosphere?
It was, I could tell no difference in that air other than it seemed just a little bit heavier than the air here in this world. And they explained to me the reason that I felt this different was simply because the air here is polluted, the air there is not.
Well, I could breathe. I certainly would find a difference myself, I'm sure, if I had the opportunity to breathe pure air. What about the trip? How long did it take to get to Lanulus?
The first time that I made this trip to Lanulus, I was not permitted to get out on the ground. I was not permitted off of the ship. I left Earth at just about 20 minutes after 7 p.m. I arrived back on Earth just a few minutes before midnight. I didn't believe this could be accomplished that fast myself.
Mm-hmm.
But they explained to me that their traveling was done simply by bending distance and space. That it was not actual traveling as we know, although that they told me there was one of the people from Earth, a man by the name of McDonald, in San Francisco, California, that was right on the verge of discovering this way that they traveled.
Mm-hmm.
They say they have talked to this man, McDonald, and have shown him quite a few things, and that any time that our government and our people will accept them as friends, they will give the United States government or any other country in this world the secret of space travel.
Have you had an opportunity to relay this word to any members of the government?
I have talked to the officials of NASA. I have told them everything that happened to me. I told them for 1 week, every night, 1 week, I was interrogated by the people of NASA in Cape Kennedy, Florida. At the end of 1 week or 6 days that I had talked to them, when I got done talking to them on the sixth day, they told me I had told them nothing that they had not already known, that they knew everything that I had talked. They even knew the planet. They said they didn't know it by the name of Landulus, but they knew the planet I was meaning. They told me they knew everything that I did and a lot more.
You in touch with these people today?
Yes, I have been in touch with these people today.
When's the last contact that you had with them, Woody?
With mental telepathy, the last contact I had with him was approximately 8 or 10 minutes ago.
Here in the studio?
Yes,
I
did.
Are you waiting to go on?
I talked to them with mental telepathy while I was sitting there on the seat.
What did they tell you?
They told me to get over my nervousness, to not be frightened, that everything would be all right.
Well, you're not frightened of me. You've been on the air with me before. Maybe they don't know as much about us as they think.
Well, I think they do, Alan. I think they know quite a bit about you.
Me?
Yes, you.
Have you asked them?
Yes, I have asked them.
What'd they tell you? I'm dying to know.
They told me that they had walked on a past you in the street, that one of the men had actually talked to you or spoke to you briefly. They thought you would be a man that would be contacted personally before too long, and the place-based people would identify themselves with you. Then from then on, it would be up to you of what you would do with the information and knowledge you would learn.
Well, I am now completely in your power, Woody. And we're going to pause for a moment before I become utterly helpless so that we can earn some money. And then we'll be back to talk with Mr. and Mrs. Derenberger. If you happen to tune in late, we're talking with Woodrow Derenberger about his contact with and his association with people from another planet and his affiliation with those flying saucers. Woody, the information comes to me that you have been followed here by flying saucers. Are they in the vicinity?
Yes, they're very close in the vicinity. I know that this is as hard to believe, or maybe harder than to believe in the first initial contact with the people, but I never go any place. I never go any place at all unless one or two of the space people are very close to me. If I travel on the highway, they travel with me. Mm-hmm. They travel very close. If I am in a meeting of this sort, they are also very close. These people are very identically like our own people. There
they
is
look
no difference.
Just like us, do they?
Yes. If you would meet one on the street, you could not tell him from a man that was born on Earth, raised on Earth. He could be sitting next to you at any time, and you would not know it unless he would wish to tell you or prove to you that it was so.
Woody, why is it that you were contacted originally on the 2nd of November of 1966, and we are now pushing toward 2 years following that date. It's over a year and a half now, and no significant progress has been made even by their time measurements as you relate them to us. Why is it taking so long?
I think there has been a great deal of progress made. It may seem slow to the general public, but the government itself is getting closer to announce this, to announce what they know on the air. There is many more people know of these spacecraft, of these people, than is generally thought of by the whole public taken as a whole. Many times I've been asked to prove this story in some way, with some material proof, with pictures or some medals from these worlds.
But you do have pictures.
Pictures I have shown and been called a liar, that they were fakes. Pictures that were actually taken of the spacecraft and them.
Yes.
I quit taking pictures. I don't even have no interest in the pictures anymore.
Well, but before you throw them away completely, we have some pictures. We have been...
Yes, there is...
And I think while we're talking, could you roll the monitor out so the audience will have a chance to see firsthand the kind of pictures that Woody is talking about. And this is a 25-second film strip of that catches a flying saucer in motion. And while they're getting ready, please proceed with your point.
Well, This kind of proof I did try to and was said, were called a fake and everything. So instead of trying to prove it this way, the space people told me that they would prove it for me, but if I wanted to, the people that they had landed and talked to me before these certain people from here, that I could use them as witnesses to back up my story. Now, there is two people in the audience tonight that have seen craft at my home in Mineral Wells, West Virginia. And I also have with me tonight six sworn affidavits of people that was at my home, seen the spacecraft land, seen the people get out of the spacecraft, come and talk to me, and then get back in and leave. They have also, these people, some of these people have also seen me get into the spacecraft and leave, and have also seen me return. I can get sworn affidavits for any of these people, or at a short notice, 2 or 3 days' notice, I could bring them here on the air and let them tell the same thing.
Let's take a look at the film now that that Woody mentioned existed. Now we're able to see the monitor over there. So if you will, gentlemen, please roll the film. There is a... the item is not in the picture as yet. The camera is apparently disoriented. It must have been in the hands of someone. Woody, who was... There it is. There is a 16-millimeter film clip that Woody Derenberger brings to us. And that is a... That is a saucer. It seems to be hovering or fluttering, the leaf-like motion that some UFO people have told us about. Seems very much in evidence. Who shot those films?
That was a man that took that film. He lives in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. He did release the film, but he will not release his name. He told me if I used his name, he'd sue me, so I certainly will not use his name. But this man took the picture in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, with his wife, with him. He was in a pickup truck. When he noticed the object, he got out and took the picture with the loaded movie camera, and that was just what he's seen.
Miss Derenberger, have you seen these people?
Yes, I have.
Have you met Ingrid Cole?
Yes.
Were you frightened of them?
At first, yes.
How do you feel about them now?
Oh, they're some of our best friends.
They're some of your best friends?
Very definitely.
Do you say you have some affidavits with you from people that have seen Woody getting into this craft? This is to certify that I, Grace Beckett, will swear that while at the home of Woodrow Derenberger, did see a spacecraft land on his property and did see three men get out of the craft. They stood and looked at the house for about 5 minutes and then get in the craft and leave Mineral Wells, West Virginia. Ellen Harris is the same thing, seen spaceships at the home of Woodrow Derenberger, talked to the space people, have been in contact with the space people for some time. I might point out, here's a letter from a doctor, signed M.D., Dr. Alan Roberts, a doctor of medicine. The month of May, 67, while visiting at the home of Woodrow Derenberger, did see five spacecrafts on his property and did talk with one of the occupants of one of said crafts. Told me his name was Demo Hassan, from the planet Cerebus.
That's right.
That's another planet. Alan Michaels. Seen a spaceship on the front porch of his house in West Virginia. Also contacted by the space people on the night of the sighting. Also seen a spaceship at the Derenberger home in the presence of Mr. Derenberger, and so on. Is Dr. Roberts the psychiatrist?
Yes, he is.
How did you happen to meet Dr. Roberts?
NICAP. Shortly after this happened to me, NICAP engaged this psychiatrist to give me a psychiatric examination and also to take what they call an EEG test. NICAP did take the results of this test, sent it to a clinic somewhere to have it landed. It came back that it was normal in every way.
Your EEG was okay?
Yes. They said that NICAP refused to release it, said it would just cause more publicity and more people would be saying the same thing.
For the record, who at NICAP sicked a psychiatrist on you?
There was a subcommittee from Pittsburgh. It was headed by Lou Weitzel.
Okay. Mr. Weitzel was the man who was responsible for engaging a Parkersburg psychiatrist and sending him to you.
Yes.
Right? Now, Dr. Roberts, is that the name of the psychiatrist?
That is right.
Has been on the air with you?
Yes, he has.
He is a qualified medical doctor who then went on to get his degree and became a psychiatrist.
is.
I assume he has been himself is he a psychoanalyst?
Yes, he is.
He himself has been psychoanalyzed, and he, who was sent to investigate Mr. Derenberger and sort of do a frontal lobotomy to see if Mr. Derenberger was sane or not, is now one of your staunchest supporters. Is that right?
Yes, because this man has had these space visitors since his time to talk to him many times. He has talked to them. He has even received help in his psychiatric practice from these people.
It's a very curious aspect of this case. We'll be back in a moment. We are talking with Mr. Woodrow Derenberger, who's a very fascinating man. And Mr. Derenberger, I must share with you a criticism that has been made of you to the effect that it is possible, in someone's opinion, another scientific investigator, that you have hypnotic powers. Well, I don't feel that I am being hypnotized. I don't know how you feel about it, Mrs. Derenberger. Maybe your feelings may be different. But an investigator from this area went down to your home when you were living in Parkersburg, in the Parkersburg area, spent some time down there with you, and said they saw some evidence of something out there. There were some flying saucers or lights that they could not explain. They acquired no pictures and brought back no evidence. And in looking back, one of them said, and I will not name him, said that he felt that you must have had some kind of hypnotic influence, or he was somehow hypnotized in some way. Would you care to comment on that, sir?
I know very well the man. Actually, there were two men that you were referring to.
Well, there were three on that particular
visit. Yes. But these men, and I do not care to name the men, even though you don't. One of them was Earl Nett, the other one was Larry Moyers. They came down with the express purpose that they wanted a picture of one of these spacecraft. I took them out behind my house in an open field, and I asked Ended Cold if he would bring his ship in. He did bring the ship in within, I would say, between 100 or 200 feet over our heads. Earl Neff and Larry Moyers both had a camera hanging around their necks. They stood with their mouths wide open, the cameras in their hand, and never attempted to take any picture whatsoever. I asked them repeatedly while they were standing there to take the picture. They never did. They stood and gazed at it. When it was over, they turned around, went back to my house, and without even saying thank you, goodbye, or anything, they climbed in the car. And personally, face-to-face, that is the last time I have ever talked to them face-to-face. But they have never, to my knowledge, ever come right out and admitted they knew the spaceship or had seen the spaceships. Why they won't admit it, I don't know.
Well, they did on my program now.
They admitted they saw.
Yes, indeed. They said they saw lights, and there was no way to explain what they were. They saw by their description, you pointed up and you said, there is going to be one right there. And in a matter of just seconds after you pointed, then suddenly a light appeared in the sky. And you said, there's another one over there. And you pointed out some five or six across the span of the horizon within a given area just above a ridge. And they saw them, and then they saw one red one that seemed to traverse the other five white lights. By their story, they left the cameras indoors because it was night and they don't want to take pictures. It would not be accurate, sharp, clear pictures. And then they said they went out the following day and they covered every inch of that territory by Mr. Neff's word, and that they were able to find no evidence of any rigging. They saw no evidence anybody had been walking around, you know, with balloons or anything that had lights strung on them, and that there was no way that they could explain, as scientific investigators, of the phenomenon, or how you could have rigged it. So what I'm asking you is, Woody, how'd you rig it?
I didn't rig it, only by asking Ended Cold and his friends to bring their craft in to give these people the chance to take a picture of their craft. And I did try to get Ended Cold to land that night, but they would not land because Mr. Neff and Larry Moyers were only just a couple of the people there. Actually, parked around my house, hidden around my house, were several other people, but I still don't know who they were. I have had people to ring my house with guns in the night, wanting a chance to fire on one of these people or their ships. I have actually had people too far at the lights on my property. I have had so many people at one time to come to my house that even I couldn't get in the house. I had to call the state troopers to come out and clear my house so I could get in. Who all of these people are, I do not know, but some of them are just people that wanted to see the spacecraft. Some of them were there for no good.
Woody, at one time you told me that you were able to speak the language of Lanulos, and you did give us an example of how that language sounded. Could you repeat that for us?
Well, I don't remember just what I said, but...
Anything at all would be fine.
When I would be leaving you to say goodbye, I would simply say, Dia Adida Kapoor, which would mean God go with you. Or if I wanted to say goodnight, I would just say Dika. Well, that would be it. Mm-hmm. It's a language that is actually easier to learn than our own language, and it is called the Intergalactic Universal Speech.
And would other planets speak
yes,
the same?
Yes, there are several other worlds that they have told me about. They have told me lots of things, and I have never, ever caught one of them in a lie. I believe exactly what they tell me. I can trust these people. I would trust them with my life in any way, shape, or form. They have told me that there is many, many worlds throughout the universe, and I believe them.
What is the religious belief on the Lanulos and the other galactic entities?
I asked them, the first time that I asked them about their religious beliefs, I asked them what their religion was. They didn't know what the word religion meant. They asked me to explain. I did ask them if they had a god or gods that they served. They said they believed there was one god that had made everything, creator of all things that were good, that he had a son, Christ, that they served God in the way that God himself had shown them how to serve him. They have explained to me the difference between their religion and our religion. They both exactly the same, except that we talk of our religion. We say we believe and forget it. They believe their religion, they live it. That is the difference between theirs and ours. The true beginning of God and his son are exactly the same as ours.
Is their name for Christ the same as ours?
Their name for God is Dia. The name for son is Gon.
We will go to the audience in just a moment and see what questions arise. I'm sure there may be some on the part of some of our visitors tonight. We'll be back to visit with the Derenbergers after this. Yes, sir. Mr. and Mrs. Woodrow Derenberger, formerly residents of Parkersburg, now living in Washington, D.C., I understand. And our audience, I'm sure, may have questions of Mr. Derenberger's experience and continuing experiences. A gentleman over here on this side.
Yes, I don't mean to get too personal on this, Mr. Derenberger, but a technique which has been reported on psychiatrically in a difficult case in the book, The 60-Minute Hour, is one in which a gentleman did, an eminent physicist, did envision himself actually traveling to other planets and getting involved with the people on these planets. The technique utilized in the psychiatric treatment was a difficult one, in which the psychiatrist actually became a part of the entire fantasy to, in fact, cure this particular individual. A very difficult technique and can be disastrous for the psychiatrist. My question would be, you have been analyzed. Have you ever been under treatment psychiatrically?
No, I have never been under any kind of treatment by a psychiatrist or any other thing. The only serious illness I ever had that I can remember was I had my appendix removed. That's the only treatments that I've ever had.
Is it possible to just take the gentleman's question one step further, and he probably was ready to ask it himself, that you could have, that you could be hallucinating or could have been hallucinating on this and could be joined by your wife and conceivably by a psychiatrist?
Could I have also been joined by this by a group of 32 people at one time, all seeing the same things? Several groups of people at different times, would they all be hallucinating with me at different times? This would be impossible. It couldn't be done.
Not to my knowledge, sir.
No.
Although I wish I'd been, there'd been 33, including me.
I wish you'd have been there.
Let's go to another question on this side here.
Woody, two other well-known contactees, Betty and Barney Hill, have you ever read of these two people?
I have heard of these people. I thought that I would get to meet them about 2 weeks ago, but unfortunately I couldn't. But I have asked Inwood Cole about this Betty and Barney Hill. He told me that their story was absolutely true in every detail, but they had not been contacted by his people by rather what they call humanoids. These humanoids, for a long time, back a couple of years ago, if you will remember reading your news about the UFOs, there was some pink ships that were sighted several times. Inwood told me that this was the people that stopped them. Later, I also had a very unnerving experience because of my wife and her first cousin. They were also stopped by the humanoids, although they took her cousins, they took his shoes, his watch, and his socks, and a flashlight, and they took them. They didn't take either one of them in the ship, but these people, because they stopped her and his her cousin, I went out the next night because they came and asked me if I would go with them when these people were supposed to return the object they had taken. I did go with them, but I also asked Kindred Cole, Carl Ardo, and Demo Hassan from the planet Langulus and Cerberus to go with me. They did go out and land the ship before I asked them to land it before dark and kept it there till after we got there. The humanoid ship did come in, and when they found out that I was with them, they didn't want to return the object, so Ingrid asked me with telepathy to keep their attention till him and Carl Ardo and Demo Hassan get behind them. I did talk to the humanoids in the same language that Ingrid's people uses, till Ingrid and the other two got up behind them, and then Ingrid asked us to get in the car and leave. We did. We seen the pink ship with Ingrid's ship following close behind it leave. As he left, he told me with mental telepathy that objects would be returned to this other man, and we would never be bothered by the humanoids again. To my knowledge, these pink ships have never been seen by anyone since that night.
Well, you say you talked to these humanoids, the same beings that Betty and Barney Hill made contact with?
No, the same way that Ingrid Cole, with the intergalactic language, they did know the intergalactic language.
Well, the story of the Hills, if I remember right, they forgot completely about this contact until they were treated by Dr. Simon under hypnosis, and this is what brought out this contact with the Hills. Have you ever been treated treated under hypnosis?
I have never been under hypnosis. I have had two different psychiatrists to try to put me under hypnosis. They tell me that I either fight them off or I have too strong of a will that they cannot get me under. I have asked the space people themselves if they could hypnotize me, and they told me they could if they wished, but they would never hypnotize anybody against their will. I believe this. I don't believe that they have ever hypnotized anybody unless it was for a reason or at the request of the Earth people themselves.
Another question in the audience. Is it one over this side or that side?
My question regards their religion. Now, they say that they have one God like we do, and it so-called could be the same God because you say this God had a son. Now, the God that I believe in created the heavens and the earth, but he only created Adam and Eve. And from Adam and Eve, all our generations have come. Now, where did these so-called space people come from?
They have a written record of their world back 10,000 years. Behind that, they say they have nothing, only what they call a legend or a belief that has been handed down from generation to generation. They say that all the worlds that are out in our universe originated on this world here.
All right, then how did we get out there?
If you will read up on our own scientists, you will find that they have always tried to claim that they have evidence of a much higher civilized race of people before us that were much higher in every way than we are now, here on this earth.
They have.
So that in pre-biblical times it was possible that we were visiting other planets?
Yes, I think that is what these people believe. Although they say they have no proof that they came from this earth, this is what they believe.
We'll be back in just a moment. And, Woodrow Derenberger and our previous gentleman had one more question before we moved on.
Yes, could you show me some physical proof of this space visit?
If I wanted to show you physical proof, I could probably get it. But as I said at the beginning of this, I did try to show physical proof and was always called a liar or saying it was a fake or could be faked, and actually anything that I could get would or could be duplicated here on Earth.
What physical proof did you attempt to show?
Pictures online.
Oh, pictures. Mm-hmm. What about artifacts, you know, the actual things?
Anything that I could bring back, Alan, could be duplicated here. They have nothing on their world that we couldn't make here on our own Earth.
Except the flying saucer.
They say we can also make this, that any time that our government will let them land and give them a guarantee, they can land and leave at any time they want to.
Gentlemen in the audience with a question?
I'd like to inquire about, you were talking before that you had communication with the aliens through telepathy. How does this telepathy work?
This telepathy, they have told me, everybody here on Earth could use it if they knew how. But we first have to learn how to love one another and to partly trust one another, because mental telepathy takes two people to use. It is not mind reading. They cannot read a person's mind. You have to learn to release the thought that you want released and also be able to pick it up. The way to do this, as they explained it to me, is simply by merely, like a daydream, simply wish or let your thought drift out. Do not try to force it. Just simply release it from your mind and let it drift out. The person cannot force himself to hear. He can only want to hear, and he will hear.
Do you have this power of telepathy only with the aliens, or can you direct it to other channels as well?
I have only been able to talk with telepathy to two people from here on Earth. One was a close friend, the other is my wife. We can only do this at certain times and sometimes when we both feel, I don't know how to explain it, when we feel this exactly right, I can get her thoughts or she can get mine. These people do not call it mental telepathy. They say it is thought transference, and telepathy means an entirely different thing.
Another question in the audience, the gentleman up at the top there, or down, is there a lady down here with a question? The gentleman at the top.
It's interesting to me that you're on the same show with the Edgar Cayce people, because a lot of what you say is the same as what they say. Now, for example, they talk about many planets, people living on other planets and so forth, but in one part of their readings they say that the people also dwell, Earth people have dwelled in between incarnations on other planets. And I'm wondering if any of the people here on Earth were at one time on that planet that you're speaking about. That's one part of my question. And the other part of my question is, since your contactees were interested in developing love and harmony between the people here, I'm wondering if they have had any suggestions as how we can keep the black man and the white man from killing each other here on this earth, and, you know, just how that would be implemented. And you might also tell me what they look like, because, you know, you haven't mentioned that so far. I was a little curious. Move there.
These people on Landulus, I will use Landulus for an example. All of the whole worlds that they have told me to goes together. They're all practically the same as Earth. They do have different colored people on them. They say that this is caused solely by the climate or what they have eaten for generation after generation. Now, on Landulus, they have different colored people. They have the black man, they have the yellow man, but they are not called, as they call them here, a Japanese or a Negro or anything like this called. They are simply called Landulesians. They are one and the same. There is no difference in them. The same God that made me made you. That's all there is to it. There's no difference. There is no racial strife or racial hatred. They love one another, and they say they did this simply by trying to understand what God wanted them to do, to actually put love into effect, not talk about it and not think about it, but do it. Love your neighbor as you can.
Do they intermarry? Do they intermarry?
No, they do not. They say this is because of the children. Now, wait a minute. They say it is because of the children, that if they do, that the children will not be normal. But as far as if they would want to marry, there has been several cases of it, and they do it.
What would be abnormal about the children if they were intermarriage?
They will be of a different color, which would not be according to the climates and the things. It would be something that would be a difference in the blood. But they say that as far as they want to marry one another, if they want to, they're free to do it. Mm-hmm. It's up to the people.
Sounds amazingly earth-like to me.
They live together, and in some cases they have.
Yeah. Was there another question from the gentleman at the top, who himself is the product of an intermarriage of some kind? Are you normal, sir? Well, let me say I hope so too, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, I was interested again with regard to that other question I asked you, whether any of the people here on Earth from your context would possibly be from your other planet.
Yes, these people do believe in reincarnation. They say that a person could live on several different worlds during his step from one plane to another plane, that we always go forward, we never go backwards, we always come up just a little bit in a world that's a little bit better than the one before, or we would be. But they say you could be reincarnated from several different worlds.
But being the offspring of two different races myself, I would not be welcome on that new planet, is that right?
Oh, you'd be just as welcome there as you.
Where would I fit in, though? You say they don't like blacks and whites mixed up.
I don't know how to explain what you're wanting to know. There is no blacks in the way that you are talking about. They are Langulesian. They are the same as we are.
Well, how come they can't intermarry then?
I didn't say they couldn't marry. I said they didn't. I said also that some of them did. There is a few of them that marries. There is no difference if they want to. It's simply up to the individual.
I'll go along with that. Now, we have a young lady down here with a question.
Yes, I would like for you and your wife to converse in this language. Give us a further example, a poem or a song, something.
She does not talk in this language.
Could you give us a poem or a song or a prayer?
No, I'm afraid I couldn't talk it that good. I have to stop and stutter and stammer and think out what I'm going to say.
How have you communicated this many ideas with these people,
then,
if you can't?
He talks perfect English. He also, in the what we call mental telepathy or thought transfer, it is not a word, it is simply a thought. We transfer the thought into words ourselves. In the same way, there is no language in this mental thought transference, because a thought is not a spoken word until you would receive my thought and then you would transfer it into your own words.
But that's the way the brain operates. It transfers
thought.
Pictures in the mind into words.
A picture of a thought. It isn't a word until you speak it.
Well, could you communicate to me then something like this?
I could try.
I think I know what he's thinking. I'm sorry, Mrs. Derenberger.
I know what you mean.
Oh, you do, then you know what he's thinking.
Sure.
So you see, there's more to this telepathy than you can imagine. Is there another question in the audience, or have we run almost out of time? We have another question over here?
Yes, I'd like to know why they chose you. They must have had a reason.
What was the question?
Why did they choose you?
They did not choose me deliberately. The night that I was stopped the first time, I was traveling on Interstate I-77. I was in a Ford Econa van hauling stereos and sewing machines. It was raining. There was a car came up behind me, blinked his lights that he wanted to pass. He did pass me at a very high rate of speed. When he went to pass me, he stopped the car. This here ship was after or was going to stop him, but he came to this intersection. The spacecraft didn't want to cause or could be a cause of an accident, so he stopped the next car behind him, which was me.
And something else. Now, on Alan Douglas's radio show not too long ago, I believe he was interviewing you over the telephone. And you had told him at that time that he would be contacted very soon. And that at that night there was supposed to be a sighting over Lake Erie somewhere.
The night that I said there would be a ship over Lake Erie, if you were out there that night, you will also remember that ships didn't show up, but several aircraft did show up overhead.
Well, no, just that we live pretty close to the lake, but we never heard of any ships being sighted.
There wasn't, because there was too many jet aircraft overhead at that time. They also heard my prophecy, or whatever you want to call it, they would be there that night. So there was too many planes in the area.
Well, I seem to recall that night, and it was a dark night, it was overcast, it was a bad weather night for small planes, matter of fact, but there were some planes in the air. We did get some calls from some people who did go out and who went up, as a matter of fact, and who did see nothing. I have had no personal contact. Now, there is a man in the audience that I'm given to understand we cannot identify. We are not given the liberty tonight to reveal him. He's a native Clevelander. I have met this man before. And he claims to have had contact with people, not only flying saucers, but with people on a CTS bus right here in this very area. I'm not sure that the the alien was not driving the bus. Or, for that matter, it may have been sitting in the back. The gentleman up there with the question?
Do all the people on Lanulus speak the same language, or the various dialects exist? I mean...
The people on Lanulus itself, each world has a language of its own, but all of the worlds that belong to what they call the intergalactic circle also has a universal language, and they all speak this same language.
Another question? Were you finished, sir?
I just want to ask him how, approximately, compared to the other planets like Earth and Mars, I mean, how big is this planet Lanulus? I mean, as far as its...
They tell me that Lanulus is a little bit smaller than Earth, has a little less population.
All right. Another question in the audience. A lady? Oh, there we are.
Do the people on Lanulus have problems with war, like Vietnam and so forth?
No. On the world of Lanulus, they have never had war. They have only been three planets that they have ever told me about that was or did have war. These planets, after these people from Lanulus and some other of the friendly planets have went to them, as the same as they're doing to Earth now, did become one of the worlds of the intergalactic circle, and war has never been seen on that. They have been taught mental telepathy, and they live the same as the other planet.
Well, how did they achieve this? Through the total love?
How did they
achieve this? Through love?
They told me of what they called the legend of Lanulus, which is a pretty long story, but they said that it was because they had separated at the landing of their ship, and all of the crew had separated, and then when they got separated, they became frightened. They started wishing to get together again, and they did get back this way.
All right, I'm afraid we have run out of time. I was going to ask the audience, maybe we can take just another few seconds if we can. I'd like to find out from you, how many of you have ever seen a flying saucer, or what you believe to have been a flying saucer? I see perhaps 5-6 hands. How many of you believe that Woody Derenberger is telling us the truth and believe that he has seen what he says he has seen? I see a showing of perhaps half the hands in the audience. How many of you believe that Woody Derenberger does not really believe that he saw what he tells us he sees, but is really putting us on or telling us a falsehood? I see not quite the other half, but I would say, Judge, about a third of the hands are showing. I'm sorry that I can't ask everyone the same thing. Thank you very much for watching and listening to us tonight. I'll be on radio on WHK 1420 all week, listening to what you have to say on two-way radio. We'll be right back here again next week at the same time.